Beautiful. Well, pretty obvious I'm going to be teaching on grace this morning. Bless your hearts. Please take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Ephesians chapter 3. Today is, May the 18th, 2025. And as you read the Bible, it's pretty obvious. You can't help but notice how God deals differently with human beings during different time periods, and we refer to those time periods as administrations. And most of the time, we use words to describe those administrations based on what's fairly obvious. The first, we're talking about God dealing with human beings, so the first would be the original, or we sometimes say paradise administration. And then after that, we have what we call the patriarchal administration. Before the law came, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we call that the patriarchal administration. Next is the administration of law, when God gave the law to Moses. And then when Christ was here, we refer to that particular time period as the Christ administration. And the administration that we're living in now, ever since the day of Pentecost, will abruptly end when Christ returns. And that returning we refer to as the appearing or revelation administration. And then after all those things happen in that administration, after that, we have what's called the glory administration or paradise administration again. But after the Christ administration, beginning on the day of Pentecost, God himself in the scriptures calls this time period by two different ways: the administration of the mystery and the administration of the grace of God. And we'll see both of those in Ephesians 3, both of the ways that he referred to this time period. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation, and I think most of you know that that word dispensation is the word oikonomia. It is much better translated administration. There's a parable in the Gospel of Luke where that Greek word and different forms of that word are used to describe a steward and his stewardship of the affairs of the household. So, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So that's where God refers to this time period as the administration of the grace of God. But as we keep reading, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And I think many times we say, yeah, the mystery was hidden, the administration of the mystery was hidden, so was the administration of the grace of God. Because as they looked for things to come, it would be the Messiah would come and then judgments. So this time period was, this whole time period was hidden. Verse 6, the mystery is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, should be administration, the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, period. Then, by Jesus Christ is not in the text, should be omitted. So in these verses that we just read, We see that God calls this time period by two ways, the administration of the mystery and the administration of the grace of God. Verse 2 again, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. I mean, think about this. We're living in a time that God calls the administration of the grace of God. And as you know, grace means divine favor, something not earned, something that is absolutely not deserved, but freely given. And of course, there was times throughout the Bible where God's grace was on display, his great grace and love toward human beings. But the entire time period that we're living in now, God calls it the administration of the grace of God. It's a time period where God's administering his affairs to human beings is full of grace. Grace, grace, grace. It's just amazing. Now, we all know that God's very nature is love, right? The Bible says God is love. We also know God is just. He's all just. And without God's love, we'd all be in big trouble. Because the justice of God demands and requires judgment. But the love of God demands and requires grace. Unearned, undeserved favor from God. Take a look at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. We will see how this love brought in this grace for us. Romans chapter 3, familiar verses to, I think, many of you. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and this righteousness of God is, we're in Romans 3:22, this righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe. Oh, my goodness. We didn't have to earn righteousness to be right in God's eyes, to be fully legally justified, that we stand in his presence without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. We are righteous in his sight from believing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, means without a cause. We're justified freely, nothing we did. But look at this, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then if you flip to chapter 5 of Romans, not far away, chapter 4, of course, deals a lot with Abraham, but look at chapter 5, verse 1, after what we just read in chapter 3. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Amazing grace. We have access as born-again ones into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Without God's love and grace, we would absolutely have no hope. Let's keep reading. Go down to verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, meaning no spirit, no spiritual strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have God. We had no spirit of God. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're going to come back to Romans 5 in a minute, if you want to leave a marker there, but go to Ephesians 2. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, and me hath he quickened or made alive because of spirit life in us. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at this, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. In the ages to come, we can look forward to the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. What a God of grace. What a hope we have that in the ages to come, we're saved by grace, God's grace. It's not anything we do or don't do. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, eternal life, receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit, it's all by God's grace. It's all totally undeserved, totally unearned. We could never, ever do enough works to earn what God has given us. And that's why all the benefits in the new birth, all the rights, the privileges, and the abilities that we read about are all because of God's great grace. And God's great grace is because of God's great love. I think we've seen that, right? Let's go back to Romans 5 now. Romans 5, where we were. Because of the justice of God, that justice of God demands and requires judgment. There has to be judgment. There has to be a time of judgment if God is all just. How could he be all just and not have judgment? And that judgment of God that is coming, whether anybody believes it or not, doesn't matter. But it's often referred to in the scriptures as the wrath of God. And so sometimes people think of, oh, God's going to be really mad. It means the time of judgment. And we know from the scriptures, Jesus Christ himself said that the Father has designated him to carry out all the judgments. But it's coming. In Romans 5, verse 6, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we're righteous in God's sight because Jesus Christ paid the price, his blood, he died. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not saved from the judgments because we do enough good works that, okay, yeah, you made it. We're saved from judgments through him. We're saved from having to go through the judgments. Did we earn that? No. That's grace then, isn't it? Something unearned, not deserved, but here you go. This is yours. It's by grace. That's God's grace. And I think you know in 1 Thessalonians 1, it says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says we've obtained salvation, but it says God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes time for Jesus Christ to judge everyone, we get a pass. Talk about grace. Talk about grace. Oh my goodness. And it's all because of God's great grace to us. In fact, instead of judgment, when we get gathered together, God has promised us rewards. Rewards for the good that we've done during this life. Talk about grace. So think about this for a minute. Because of Jesus Christ's completed work, we have salvation. We have redemption. We've been redeemed. We're justified. We are made righteous. We've been given the gift of Holy Spirit. We have all the rights, privileges, abilities, all the stuff that we read about in the church epistles. We have all of that now. We have the great hope that when Christ comes back, we're going to meet him together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? Talk about grace. How blessed we are with all of that. Is that not enough? Oh, and God said, oh, and by the way, I'm going to reward you when that time comes. What great grace. No wonder this time period we're living in is called the administration of the grace of God. Grace, 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 grace. Let's continue reading this portion of Scripture in Romans 5. And let's just read it for the context. Let God's word speak to our hearts. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved from wrath by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's the reconciliation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death, no spirit life, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Watch this. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, that's what we got from Adam, but the free gift, this righteousness, this free gift of righteousness, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, hallelujah. What a great declaration of God's great grace to us. You know, Romans 5, for a long time, I would read Romans 5 and I don't get it. It's too much. You know, it's one of those sections, just keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it over and over, and it just will unfold to you God's great love, his great grace, and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And God just said, here you go. Glad you believed. All we did was, okay, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of all people. Yeah, oh, I believe you raised him from the dead. Here, it's all yours. What? What did I do? Nothing. You just believed. How blessed we are that we're not living in the law administration. You know, I was trying to think of a comparison. And if, let's say you were living in a very strict HOA situation, right? We've all heard of HOAs. Some are okay. Some are very strict. You know, you got to close the door at a certain time at night. Don't have any lights on here. You can't do this. Can't do that. Don't paint your house. You got to have a special color. Don't. You can't plant. Just all these rules and regulations. You can't do any of this stuff. Suppose you were living there and you moved into the country on 5 acres. You know, and if you wanted to do a little campfire, yeah, do a campfire. If you wanted to plant 5 olive trees, yeah, plant 5. Want to raise chickens? Raise some chickens. Sure, you can do that. Want some horses? Hey, let's get some horses. It's a kind of a goofy analogy, but the difference, see, we're not under the law anymore. We are living in the administration of the grace of God. Oh, my goodness. So, that being said, am I saying that just because we're no longer under the law, we can do whatever we want to do? Have 1,000 chickens if we want. We can burn the forest down if we want. we can do whatever we want to do, but let's read the very next verse in God's Word after this great revelation in chapter 5. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Of course we can do whatever we want to do, but with all that God has done for us, with all the grace that God has poured upon us, why not live our lives for Him? For Him. And on top of that, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Grace is a huge topic, so we're just kind of getting a little glimpse of it, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this, of course, is addressed to the born-again ones, the ones who are saved by grace. Everything that we have is grace. And God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's what our God and Father is able to do for each of us. Hasn't He done that already? God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, there's some more grace for you. You didn't have enough? Here's some more. Lordy. We're not going to turn there, but I think you're familiar in 2 Peter where it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace multiplied. Who wouldn't want more divine favor from God and peace? Who would say, no, I've got enough. I don't need any more favors from God. I'm good. Peace? Oh, everything's fine in my life. I never get stressed about anything. Nothing ever upsets me. I don't need any more peace. I don't need any more grace. How can we get grace, God's grace, and His peace multiplied into our lives? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And where do we get the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord? Right. In the book. In His book. In His Word. This is what God said. You want grace and peace multiplied to you in your life? It's through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so then the question is, what do we think about this book? This thing we call God's Word, the Holy Bible, pages after pages. Do we reverence and respect this book? Does God's Word overstep anything we think or whatever? It's God's Word. End of story. God's Word. Remember what we looked at last week, what we were looking at? Some verses, and one of the verses was talking about grace, and that's what kind of inspired me to work this topic this past week, where we read where God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God gives undeserved, unearned favor to the humble. And there's that other verse that says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. A number of the parables, we just sat in that class, a number of the parables, Jesus Christ was very blunt. He that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then I talked about that verse in Psalm 139. Where David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David wasn't a perfect man. But David, as a man after God's own heart, had great humility. Search me. You ever searched in a drawer for something? Don't just open it up and go, well, it's probably not. No, you start rummaging through it. It's got to be in here. You search all the way through it. And David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. He didn't say, hey, if I got a nice shirt on, do I look okay? No, in here, all the way in here. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart, and try me. Test my thoughts. What do I need to clean up? What do I need to improve on? What do I need to get right? See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You want to talk about humility? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to close in Hebrews chapter 4. I know this from the scriptures, that ego and pride will shut the door of God's grace. So, if things are going lousy in life, here's a good verse. Hebrews 4, last verse of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know where it says come boldly? The word boldly means to speak freely, openly, holding nothing back. Let us therefore come boldly, speaking freely, openly, holding nothing back, unto the throne of grace. Whenever we go to the Father in prayer, we are standing at the throne of grace. God so willing to give his grace. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Grace and peace multiplied to you. God's not holding back any grace. Well, God's not doing anything for me. I prayed. Whoa. Take a step backward and look at what you just said. I did my part, but somehow whoa. Find yourself in that situation. You just need to go read Psalm 139. Search me, O Lord. And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, help me. So, this verse again. Let us therefore come speaking freely, openly, holding nothing back, and we're coming to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. We haven't talked about that this morning, but I think you all know what mercy is. Mercy is the withholding of what you deserve. You deserve punishment. You deserve consequences. Mercy is the withholding of that. What do they say sometimes in court? I fall at the mercy of the court. In other words, be lenient with me, please. Don't give me the max. Mercy, please. So we come to the throne room of grace. It's a throne room of grace that we could obtain mercy. God forgives us, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's forgiven us. That we may obtain mercy and then find grace, divine favor. For what purpose? To help in time of need. Ever had a time of need? No, not really. I got it all handled. Okay. Boy, in time of need, we just camp in the throne of grace. Like that widow woman in the parable. Just keep at it. We keep praying. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a huge topic, God's grace, and how awesome it is to think that of all the time periods we could have come around, patriarchal, that'd have been weird. You know, heard about this guy, Abraham, really, where does he live? I don't know, some over there. Law administration, holy cow, nobody could do the law. It's too much. Christ administration, hey, that would have been great, right, to be around Jesus Christ and still living with the law. And then he left. But here we are in the administration of the grace of God. Let's enjoy his grace. And let's share his grace with others. Father, thank you for the privilege to share a little bit of your great grace. Father, may we head out this week and remind ourselves once in a while of how good you are and the great grace that you've given each one of us. And Father, may we continue to love others like you love us as we wait for that great day when you send your Son back, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.